I greet you this morning again in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the name that is above every name. And someday every knee will bow to that name. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. I would like to welcome everyone that has come, whether in the parking lot or whether you're listening online. It is my prayer that you have come prayerfully. We know that without God, we can do nothing. And without Him giving the Spirit to the Word, and without His Word, this service would be in vain. But today I trust that again He will give life to His words. The Lord has been so gracious again to allow us to proclaim the news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and to worship Him. And it is for our spiritual growth. So God is very, very gracious. And I trust that we have come, when we're listening, to hear from God, not from a person, but to hear God's word. We can so easily get caught up in the things of this world. We must, as believers, we must realize that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. There's a big difference. But we are in the world only for a short time. I want to read, I'm going to start out with 2 Corinthians 4, just as a sort of an introductory verse, verse 13, and then 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, where Paul writes, he says, "We have the same spirit of faith, and how we need faith. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken." Paul believed the word of God, the gospel, and therefore he spoke. "And therefore, so we also believe, and therefore speak." And that is why we believe in the living word of God. Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." We see struggles in this life. Many people are struggling with health issues, different trials in life. We see this outward man perishing, but yet the inward man can be renewed day by day. And that's my prayer, that we will be renewed today. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," Scripture calls it only for a moment. I sometimes relate this to the time when we were raising children, and it felt like we would never quit changing diapers. And you know what? Now I look back, only for a short time. And that's how life is. Cherish the time that you're in. "But for our light affliction, it is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May our Heavenly Father open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that we will be able to see the things that are eternal, and that we focus on them." And that's really what my message is going to be again showing us today. So we live in a world, or in a time, of much riches, many blessings. Generations have lived, and I know some of our parents and forefathers, they have lived through hard times. But we have lived, and God has been so gracious to us. We've had many riches. We've had the peace and the freedom to worship. And so we see even around us that things are changing. And if we are not careful, we can put our trust in the things of this world and the security of the world. But today it's my prayer that God will speak to us. We, according to verse 13 that I read, we have an attitude or a spirit of faith that ought to belong to every believer. We must walk by faith. And therefore, I want to speak today. Paul was confident that he had nothing to fear. And that's my prayer, that we are going to be confident that we have nothing to fear, because we have a Heavenly Father that will see us through. All things that are not seen are things that are going to last forever. Those things that we don't see. Now, if only we would see the visible world the way God sees it, then we would never be attracted to it. If we would see it the way God sees it. I want to read 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17. In verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Brothers and sisters, friends, listening audience, these are not my words, these are the words of the living God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Many things against Christ, whereby we know that it is the last time. Our day of redemption is drawing closer every day. May that be an encouragement to us too, as we focus on the Word of God, that we will, by faith, believe the Word and live it. May it be real in our hearts. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is God's word. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All those things are what the word of God does. And it is for a purpose, as we read in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is why we're here today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you listen to the word of God, that is how we will truly live. That's what gives life. Today, we want to look at Jesus' sermon again. In Matthew 6, from verse 19 to 34, I believe Jesus has spoken so beautiful, so graciously to me. I believe that Jesus spoke these words for a very specific reason. He taught these to his disciples and the multitudes that were listening, and he's teaching us today. And brothers and sisters, as you're listening, let's remember that we need to check ourselves. Where are we at? I've entitled my message, Where is Your Treasure? And just ponder that a little bit. Young people, older people, middle-aged, check yourself. Where do you find your treasure? Where is your treasure? Where do you find that you're attracted? Where do you put your trust? Where's your treasure? What do you value most? Let's see what Jesus has to say. But before we do that, I'd like to open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you again that we can so richly look into your word and through the Holy Spirit receive the meaning, a revelation. Lord, we pray this morning that you will give us a deeper revelation of your word, of your character, of what the word says. Lord, may it cut and divide asunder the soul and spirit. We know that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and Lord, I pray that today it will be sharp in a way that we will remember. Lord, that it will penetrate into our hearts, into our life, or to our complete being, that that's who we are, born again, received, that we have received the Spirit of God, your nature. Lord, that we can die to the old self. Lord, that we do not believe all the things the world has to offer and advertises that we need. Lord, I pray that we will have spiritual eyes that will see you and that we can put our faith in you. Increase our faith, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus' words in Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single or healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worry, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take a thought, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, so shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God teach us through that portion of Scripture today. Jesus here, our Lord, has faithfully warned us in this previous lesson, in the previous lessons that we had, about giving it of alms, as we read in verse 1, pretense of prayer in verse 7, and in of fasting, pretending to fast, verse 16. And he has given us these instructions to clear up anything that might hinder us from receiving the full blessing that God has in store for us. He is writing this because he wants to bless us. He wants us to know right and wrong. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to see the true light. Here in our text, he proceeds to deal with the problem of accumulating of unneeded or wrongful treasures, or a wrong heart's desire for treasures on this earth, which prevent us from laying up treasures in heaven. Where is your treasure? In this life, all things we have, we read, they will what? They will pass away. We've seen many, many people in this life, in the coffin, they've been buried. Their physical body died. They took nothing with them. All these things that we see will pass away. But sometimes in this life, we seem to be committed to acquiring earthly possessions. We go through the thoughts, we need this for our job. I need this for our family. We need this for pleasure. And we need this for leisure. We need more and more and more, and the world keeps advertising, you need, you need, you need. The world keeps us thinking, and if we're not careful, we will think that we need more all the time. We must understand that someday we will die, we will take nothing with us. In Luke 6, 45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Where is our treasure? When the soul is filled with the Holy Spirit, when we've been born again, the conversation ought to be spiritual. Later I will point out where Jesus said, he was speaking to believers, O ye of little faith. He wants to increase our faith. We are to put our faith totally and completely in our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, God's only begotten Son, is our most valued heavenly treasure. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees who were always or abusing the whole matter of possessions. And you know, we all in this world, we need certain things to live. And we will see what Jesus says about them later. So he is addressing the matter of possessions. The complete sermon, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and religious and their standards. And it all goes back to Matthew 5, verse 20. I've shared that verse many times. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, where is your heart? In verse 19 it says, in our text, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. If we take that verse, we know that those things in this world where moth and rust doth corrupt, we know that you store certain things and they disappear. They rust. They rot. Or thieves break through and steal. And they're gone. Jesus says you must also have the right view. He's teaching that we are to have the right view of wealth, of luxury. And if we continue in verse 24 to 34, we must have the right understanding about our needs. In our everyday life, we get used to dividing, dividing life, the natural and the spiritual or material. Me and Jesus makes it very clear in Scripture that the right attitude toward wealth is a mark of true spirituality. I'd like to read Luke 12, verse 13 to 21. Luke 12, verse 13, Jesus is speaking. It says in verse 13, and one of the company, there was a whole multitude, and one of the company said unto him, Master, to Jesus, speak to my brother, that he divide his inheritance with me. And he saith unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed. And you know what? He's saying that today. Take heed and be aware of covetousness. That is really what Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Be aware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things that he possesseth. That is not your life, by the things which you possess here in this life, the natural things. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, he's trying to make it clear, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. Now listen to the I. And that is really what Jesus is addressing. And he said unto him, and he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? And then Jesus says, So is he that layeth up treasures for himself. This is what we must hear. God has richly blessed us. He has made all things for us to richly enjoy, as we read in Timothy. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Himself. Verse 19 of our text, lay not up for yourselves. That is the key word. Treasures upon earth. No place did Jesus magnify poverty or criticize wealth or legitimate wealth. God made all things in Genesis 1, verse 31. And he said, and it was very good. So all our wealth, everything we have, is really from the hand of God. God knows we need certain things in order to live, according to verse 32 of our text. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek or covet after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know, God, from before the foundation of the world, when he created us, he knew that we would have need of all these things. And today, I want to encourage you that we can fully trust him with our whole heart. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, Charge them that are rich in the world, that they be not high-minded. Brothers and sisters, it's not what we have done. It is the blessing from God. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Where do you put your trust? But in the living God who giveth us all things richly to enjoy. It is not wrong to enjoy the blessings of God. But we ought not to put our trust in those things and our faith. The sin of idolatry. In our world, immorality, money, power, physical appearance, and fame are very important. But all this is as dangerous as the sin of hypocrisy that Jesus taught before. There's many warnings in the Bible about being covetous. In Exodus 20, verse 17, it says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house." So often you hear people say, "I wish I had so-and-so. I wish I had this." Psalms 119 should be each one of our prayers. Remember this. Psalms 119, verse 36. "Incline my heart." This is a prayer that David is praying. "Incline mine heart unto thy testimony," God's testimony, "and not to covetousness," that we will not be covetous. Verse 37, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity." Our eyes, they behold vanity so easy. And the world knows it. The advertisements are always geared in such a way that it's good for the eye to see. But here his prayer is, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Or, "Make me alive in your way," that will be your treasure in God's way, not in all the vanity that our eyes behold. And Mark 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts." Adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, and covetousness is in the same verse. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defileth a man. Jesus warned against the sin of living for the things in the world. What are we living for? He pointed out the awful consequences of covetousness and idolatry. Church, brothers and sisters, listening audience, if Jesus Christ dwells in our heart and controls the soul, then the fruit of the Spirit must follow. And that one of them is contentment, peace, and joy, love. Those fruits must follow. Jesus is our most valued treasure. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 22, "Of things present or of things to come, all are yours." All are yours. It's not mine. I will build my barns. I will do this. Then you, soul, you can live in ease. And we see so much of it. And I believe that we are in a world of materialism. And we ought to be careful as a church that we will not fall short. Materialism will enslave the heart, according to our text, 19 to 21. I will read in verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt." And those are God's word. If we lay up treasures in heaven, using everything we have that he has entrusted to us for the glory of God, they will be there. And where thieves do not break through and steal, they're safe, they're protected. And verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Today we need to be honest with ourselves. Where is your treasure? Is it your bank account? Is your safety in the bank account? Is it in the world system? It could be many things. And we need to check ourselves. Where do we stand? We need to be liberated and controlled by the Spirit of God, and how desperately we need it in order for us to live a life that is pleasing to God, and a life of peace and joy, contentment, fulfillment. If the heart loves material things and puts earthly gain above heavenly investments, the loss is tragic. We cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the treasures of the earth may be used for God, but if we gather material things for ourselves, we will lose our hearts with them. Instead of being spiritually rich, this text deals with the application. Is this the good eye belongs to a person whose motives are pure, who have the desire for God, God's interests, the one who believes Jesus' words? He forsakes earthly riches and he lays treasures in heaven, and he knows there's only true security in heaven. But the bad eye belongs to the person who is trying to live in two worlds. We're trying to live in two worlds. We are not ready to let go of the earthly treasures. What does it mean to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? To lay up treasures in heaven. That is where our security is. It means to use all that we have for the glory of God. Not mine, not for myself, but to the glory of God. We are living in a time where we all must evaluate. We are being compared, or lots of times we compare how the worldly people do their things, and we sometimes follow the world system. We must look at what our text talks about, what Jesus is really teaching. And brothers and sisters, it comes very close to home. It is for us, for me, for you, to search your hearts. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it to the glory of God." Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And how often have we participated only for self? What are we doing? We're making choices. Verse 19 and 20, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves on earth treasures, but in heaven." Do we live in the light of life, or are we living in darkness? We read verse 22, it says, "The light of the body is the eye." We know the body can see through the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, or healthy, or good or right, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If you're not seeing from God's perspective, then there's darkness. And then it says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When I think of that verse, I'm reminded of a time where we went into a cave, some holiday someplace, and the tour guide told us to put our hand in front of our eyes and see if we could see our hand. And just even 6 inches away, it was so dark in there that you could not see your hand. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? How tragic is that darkness? Are we serving God, or is money our master? Today I must tell you, according to the Word of God, it cannot be both. It cannot be both. The worldly material things, they have an impression on us. So we need to be cautious of the message that Jesus is preaching or teaching. And we must look at life and its true riches in its kingdom, in the kingdom of God. Not by the riches of this world that are all vanity. Wealth can enslave the heart, like I mentioned, according to verse 22 and 23, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If the eye is properly focused on the light, and Jesus is the light, he is the light of the world. And the body functions properly if the eye is focused on the light. But if the eye is out of focus or seeing double, its results are not good. You cannot be looking in two different directions at the same time. If our aim in life is to get material gain for the wrong motive, it means darkness within. But if our outlook and motive is to serve and glorify God in all that we do or think, there's light. We read verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two masters. Either Jesus Christ is our Lord, or money is our master. God is not saying that we should not possess anything. I'd like to read Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 12, beautiful verses. I think we must understand what Jesus is saying here. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 12, that God is a God of blessing. I'll just read a few of the 12 verses. It says in verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. In other words, if your eye is going to be single or healthy or right, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, when Jesus is our focus, and that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth. And then listen to verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. All these blessings will come on you and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 4, blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thine kin, and the folk of thy sheep. And then verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee in the holy people unto himself, and he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all the people on the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of the body, in the fruit of the cattle, and in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord thy God sware unto the fathers to give thee. And that's talking about Moses is talking to Israel. And so I believe those blessings are still today. If we focus, if we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, God very clearly says in Timothy that it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's not the blessings. It's the love where your heart is. Is that where your treasure is? Is that where your security is? God is not against blessing or wealth, but it is, as we read in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after for themselves. What does it mean then? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. I have said it many times in my message on the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He is talking about the attitude we have toward the things we own, the things we do, how we pray, how we fast and pray, how we give tithes. It is wrong to be covetousness, which some coveted after. If we consider this portion of Scripture, there's one word I think that is very, very important. Lay down up for yourselves, the word yourselves. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon means wealth, material riches, gold, silver, and the like, all the things that God has created. If we value those things higher than the things of heaven, they bring more joy and satisfaction than the things that pertaining to the kingdom of God, then they are an idol to us, and we are full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? And we read in that portion of Scripture in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, because of this, take no thought. In other words, don't worry about your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor what your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life your life? God knows it's more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. He says, behold the fowls of the air. Now some of you might think, well, then we don't need to work. But you know, the birds, they don't just sit back and wait for something to fall into their beak. I heard the other day of a young boy, he had tamed a magpie. And he said, we had, I think, a certain kind of a berry. They had trained the magpie that he would open his beak, they would put 5 berries in there, and then the magpie would go, drop them, and eat them one by one. But I'm saying this to say that if you watch birds, he's not saying that the birds don't just sit there. We are to work. Scripture tells us very clearly that we are to work. If anybody does not provide for his household, in Timothy we read that he's worse than an infidel. We are to work with our hands. Paul worked with his hands that he didn't have to take from the church. And if we don't work with our hands, we're not supposed to. God wants us to. He wants to give the increase. We are to be. There's so much more to be said here. But he's saying this today. We read in verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And I think it believes, or it means, not by adding, a cubit is from here to here, about 18 inches. It means, doesn't mean that by worrying that we will add 18 inches to ourselves, but maybe it talks more about adding to our life, even lifespan. Nothing to worry about it will change nothing. In verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now you might think this message does not apply for us today, or I don't have a problem with it. But I believe we are in a time where we have put far too much faith in the world system. Yes, God uses the world, but the underlying deep heart issues, where you put your faith, even in the time we're in, where are you putting your faith? Are you putting your faith in our Heavenly Father? In Scripture, many times he says, therefore take no thought. I think there's three verses. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry, because we have a Heavenly Father, and I can assure you today, he knows all your needs. For your Heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. I want to encourage us today to check our hearts. Where is your treasure? Because you can be assured that is how it is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus didn't teach that we are not to work, but it is sin when we fail to allow, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He is the God of blessing. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and putting our faith and trust in him instead of the things of man or the things of this world? My prayer that we will search our hearts. Brothers and sisters, these are not my words today. I believe that you need to take time and evaluate your life. Why am I working? What is my goal? Is it to provide and to bring glory to God and to help others? Or is it all for yourself that you can hoard and put it away and store it like the farmer that wanted to build greater, and then his soul was to just relax and enjoy. But tonight, today, your soul will be required of you. Then whose things shall those things be that you have obtained? May God allow us through the Holy Spirit to check our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you for the beautiful message that you have given us. And we know that the words that have been penned here have been penned by the inspiration of God, and they are for correction, for reproof, for encouragement, that the man of God can be thoroughly furnished unto good works. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of the Word of God. Lord, we have a world that bombards us with advertisements, with promotions, wants us to believe the lies of the world. But Lord, today I pray that you will open our eyes, spiritual eyes, that we will be able to see the truth, because we know the truth will set us free. And that is what we need so desperately, Lord. May we as believers, if you would write us a letter today, I believe your words would say, be, O ye of little faith. Lord, we pray, increase our faith. Increase our faith in the things that you want for us, the things that you have taught us, that we believe them, and we just fully trust you. Lord, I pray for all those that are listening, that you will increase their faith. Lord, that you will use this Sermon on the Mount, that you have again allowed us to go through this morning and just glean from and draw from for our own lives. I pray, Lord, that you will give the increase. I pray, Lord, for our spiritual well-being. Lord, that we will turn our hearts toward you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We thank you that you call us today to just trust you. You know our needs before we ask, but Lord, you also have taught us that we are to ask, then we will receive. So Lord, we pray that we will have a deeper understanding of this portion of Scripture, that we can live our lives accordingly, that we can live out this message. Truly, when the time comes that we will be able to meet you in peace, we will face you, that we will be able to face you face to face with the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that keep our hearts and our lives through Christ Jesus, not only when we face you, but when we live our life every day. Lord, so many people today out in the world are living in worry and anxiety. They're all tensed up, and they don't know where to turn. And Lord, I just pray that we will check ourselves, that we will cause ourselves to just sit back and totally believe your word. We cannot add anything by worrying. We just need to live by faith, and we thank you for that. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are being persecuted through the world. Many Christians are losing their lives. We're standing up for the faith. And Lord, I pray that we will learn to take a stand, to stand firm on the truth, that we will be able to discern right from wrong, when to speak up and when to be quiet. Lord, we pray for those that are sick. There's A.W. Bueller, Ann Ginther. There's others, Lord, that are Don Friesen. We bring them to your throne, Lord. We can commit them into your care because we know that you're the God of all comfort. You're the great physician. And Lord, we pray on their behalf. Would you help them in their need, in their time of need? Lord, we pray for our care home, our schools, the whole country, Lord, is in turmoil. And Lord, I pray that we will be teachable, that we will be able to learn from this what you want us to learn. May you be glorified, whatever we do or say, every day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you for listening, and trust that the Word of God has spoken to us. And I want to just close with the benediction that Paul writes in Philippians, verse 19 to 20. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You may depart in the peace of God.